아래 하상한다 요지 당한적이 된지 좀이야 아니 튕기 이제 분선 소백이 아니 유수묘레스 한디가레스네 이담리 시에시바다 아니 송게 나와토바 아니 덴바샤게 투바니 송제 아니 송르게 담마디 바르마체바 안규 여바텔라 아니 덴디 시수묘레스 디숨가 아니 주어체리아 두신 여바레스 아니 두스티네 가산 이거 시주와다
Good morning. So last night we continued to look at the three conditions for excellence that are required for a composition to clarify the Buddha's intention. And these three, what we looked at last night and the weekend before, which were that Atisha possesses the five areas of knowledge, that he has received visions from his yidams and received permissions from them to teach. And all three of these Atisha possessed.
And Dinigi, Danga, you get some tongue at Susugi, Namely Chawa, the Karelana, that Dinigi and George Dinigi, and you end that temper, and Chick, Dustine, Reyes, and Beta Dinigi, George, Chile, Nia, you end that Dinilla, Chick, Chisu Yranchia, and Dinigi, Deva Tessuce, Chia, and George, that Dinigi, Coron, Yamche, Yamlin, Dustinache. Namjimni And Jocheta, and Jeremichi, Koranzu, Yamlinganis, Navanashi, Manzuki, Dinish, Yamlinchi, to a chicken, yes, if you don't have to do some dumb or yes, I think that do some dumb by now, and also getting Jesu to be Kawa, Kawa, the Jesu, Yanji, but Kawa, Kawa, Dine, Jig, Deva Jebadia, Kawa, and Delia, Jiranga, Tinchimbo, Imajembadia, Kawa, Rangi, Diniki.
Last night I also again mentioned the purpose of the biography of Atisha being at the start of this text from Lama Tsongkhapa. Lama Tsongkhapa included it here so that we as his students would come to recognize the remarkable qualities of Atisha. And through coming to know his biography in brief, in some detail, we will come to recognize those qualities Atisha had. And through that, we will generate a sense of appreciation for all the efforts and endeavors that he embarked in to cultivate those qualities within himself for the benefit of all sentient beings. So, and this term then, all sentient beings, here we understand to refer to not just those in his lifetime, but those that he would indirectly benefit over successive centuries that would follow after his training and composition of the text path to a lamp on the path to enlightenment. So recognizing those qualities, generating a sense of appreciation, that will also lead to an opening of our mind, becoming more receptive to what is presented. So this is comes from the generation of faith, as well as the recognition of how fortunate we are. Moreover, we recognize that what Lama Tsongkhapa is encouraging us to do is how he himself trained. Because as we'll see with the presentation of his text, which is an expansion, he says Middling Lam Rum is an expansion of the Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment by Atisha, that this is how not only Atisha practiced, but it is also how Lama Tsongkhapa Jerenpeche trained his mind. So here, towards both of these great foundational teachers, we generate a sense of rejoicing, an appreciation, and a faith. And thereafter, in addition to that, the commitment, I will do the same as them. I will train just like they did. In the same way that Lama Tsongkhapa followed the example of Lama Atisha, I will follow their example too, and train precisely in the way that is presented here. Now, all these minds that we generate through reflecting this way are virtuous minds. Therefore, we are accumulating merit ourselves. We rejoicing, generating a sense of appreciation, faith, and a determination to follow the example of our role models. All of these are virtuous minds that we are cultivating and strengthening within us. Furthermore, hearing these teachings, we also, independent on what we've heard previously, we generate a sense of recognition of what we have attained. In past lives, we accumulated the causes which have resulted in this attainment of a human rebirth, and not just any human rebirth, precious human rebirth. And such a rebirth is incredibly rare. And it's rare, we can recognize its rarity in several ways. One of which is, amongst all the beings that live in this world, so few are human. And amongst the 8 billion humans, so few have an interest in transforming their minds. And amongst those who have an interest, so few have met the Buddha Dharma, have an interest in coming to know the Buddha Dharma, to gather knowledge. And amongst those, so few have the other conditions required to integrate that knowledge within themselves, transforming their minds. So in this way, we recognize the rarity of our opportunity, and that leads to a generation of the determination, I will not waste a moment of what remains of this life. I will utilize this life now to transform our mind, to apply myself repeatedly over a sustained period to cultivating these teachings within myself. So in this way, the preparation to the Lamrim text is helping us to generate a determination to transform our minds.
So how do we train our mind?
First, we need to gather knowledge. Without knowledge, what are we going to train our mind in? And as we go through this process of hearing teachings, we also reflect on their meaning, coming to see their validity, and through reflecting on their meaning again and again, we integrate them within ourselves. And as we gather extensively more knowledge, continuing to this process of not only hearing but reflecting as well, we then come to the point where our knowledge on a particular topic is settled. Then we are ready to engage in meditation. This then is the process of training our mind. This is the meaning of practice in Buddhism. It's to train our mind based on knowledge, developing our habituation to particular virtuous ways of thinking, and thereby breaking our habituation to non-virtuous ways of thinking.
To
take as an illustration, bodhicitta. In order to become a bodhisattva, to have generated bodhicitta, one first needs to understand what is bodhicitta and why it is something worthwhile to cultivate, and then how to cultivate it. So this is all comes about in dependence on hearing successive teachings or repeated teachings on bodhicitta, hearing again and again about what is bodhicitta, why it is so beneficial, and how it is generated. Because without knowing this, how can it be generated? And if one only hears a little about it, one will not really understand well what bodhicitta is, why it's so required, and how to generate it. But if one hears many teachings and reflects on the meaning of those teachings repeatedly over a sustained period, then in this way one is developing the ideal foundation to generate bodhicitta oneself. Hearing again and again about that bodhicitta arises in dependence on love and compassion. What is love? What is compassion? And how to generate this leads one to think about the benefits of cultivating these minds. The benefits that come to oneself and to others. That's, for example, it leads these are indispensable qualities required to attain enlightenment. Moreover, through repeatedly reflecting on love and compassion, one accumulates vast stores of merit and purifies a previously accumulated negativities and puts an end to the accumulation of further negativities. And the more one hears and reflects, the more one becomes habituated to a particular way of thinking. That way of thinking becomes ever more dominant, present within one's mind. So someone who, again, just an example of bodhicitta, is hearing repeated teachings on love, compassion, and bodhicitta and engaging in reflection on it. These minds become dominant within in them, or to express it differently, they become ever more habituated to a loving attitude towards others, a compassionate attitude towards others. So such a person is accumulating merit almost continuously. Why? Because they are continuously having virtuous minds. They're continuously thinking, how can I benefit others? How can I alleviate their suffering? When engaging with others, spontaneously love will arise. And when encountering the suffering of others, spontaneously compassion arises. In this way, because these minds of virtue continuously arise, virtue is continuously being accumulated. This shows then the reason to engage in extensive hearing and reflecting and how we thereby train our mind. Furthermore, this way to engage in Buddhist practice or train the mind is exactly how Atisha trained. We saw this again last night in the presentation of his qualities, that he received direct visions and instructions from his Yidams to train in the way that's presented here. As later did Lama Tsongkhapa too, who also received, through visions from Manjushri, received advice on how to train, to practice. So this is how our role models, the great Lamas in our lineage, as well as the entire lineage, train their minds, engage in practice. We should then, having them as our role models, follow their example. Here in your meditation, you turn your mind to your teachers, the Yidams and the Buddha, requesting their blessings, their inspiration, that we may train just like they did, and thereby have confidence that through following their example, we'll give rise to the same realizations that they did.
Rangi lama le lo su jik xie mer, rangi lama ki, ta mo nganzu de yidam le xie su ranga lama le xien bi ge zhe, lama de zhe me jik yang jik qi wu jik, chabar jen jik yu sari samsam jio ruwa, dine zi mar ruwa da, nganzu yidam le xie si ba xie de, ta nganzu lama, su su ge lama di ge, ngu su xie si, tu gong xie si nganzu qi xie ra yu ruwa, yina da lama ki yidam yin namba duen jie, nganzu yi xie si ye, tu ya ki,
A misunderstanding would be to think, well, I should wait. I should wait or aspire to receive a vision of my Yidam, because then I will receive direct advice in how to practice. This is a mistake, because whichever Yidam you rely on, whether it's Gyurusamaja or Yamantaka or Chenrezig, if they were to appear before you and give you advice, they give you advice that is no different from what is being given by your lamas. So you are actually already receiving direct advice from your lamas. So what do your lamas advise you to do? Is follow their example, as well as the great lamas in the lineage. And how did they train? Exactly as is presented here. So therefore, don't think, oh, I need to wait or make big aspirations to receive visions of my Yidam. But you are receiving direct advice right now. Train your mind in the same way as the great lamas of our lineage have trained. So we'll return to the text now, and we'll start by looking at how, having generated bodhicitta, Lama Atisha engaged in guiding students. So we'll look at some of his primary students and where his students were.
Belbo, Ben Nam Nas, Loma Samji Michevashi, Yang, Zo Ne Jarana, Jordan, Chamberlain, Biki, Bandi, the Chamber, Potawatan, Ndama, Akaramati, Uma Sengi, Say Nimbo, she. Then Kachik, and Shin, Sawat, Dang, Arachido, who said.
If you have the handouts, it's on page 10. If you have the paper book, it's on page 12. Such a master as this, so this refers to Lama Atisha, had an inconceivable number of students in India, Kashmir, Odiyana, Nepal, and Tibet, though the main ones were the four great scholars in India who matched the master himself in the exalted knowledge, Pindu Acharya, Dharmakara Mati, Madhya Sima, and Kushagarbha. Some add
Micho Guya as a fifth.
Yesterday, or last night, we looked briefly at Lama Atisha's teachers. Now we come to his students. So what we've looked at thus far presents the regions or the areas where he taught and had students, as well as amongst his many students who were the primary students. So these ones are four or five, are singled out as primary because whilst his students would have trained in the way that has been advised here, so in other words, trained just like their teacher trained, those who had also had the merit to ensure that they, to lead them to gain results or realization similar to that of Lama Atisha, were the primary students that are mentioned here, the four or five.
Sadi,
The next sentence, this comes from the next sentence, is presenting Lama Tisha's primary student in Tibet. So it's presented, of course, for a Tibetan audience, so these are various areas of Tibet. In Ngari, it was the great translators Rinchen Tsangpo and Naksal, as well as the ordained king Chanchub O. In the province of Tang, it was Gargewa and Guru Lakpa, Letse in Lodak, Chukpa Chichok and Gewa Kyong. In Kham, Neljorpa, Chimpo, Gumpawa, Sherab Doje, and Chadar Dumpa. And in central Tibet, there were the three Ku, Ngok, and Drum.
Mm-hmm. Odinji la da bolya lo ma du su sin bene bene la ya chi ke sa jel ma sna kam da u dang den dang sia de de ne ge cho mang bu yone din na ne sa ji din na de lo ma chi dang mang bu yore de de din na ne lo ma zha ga zha ga de chi ne nyam len chi do wei yuan de gong chi wu yuan de ge de lo ma zha ga zha de ge chen de ge du yu ge ma de xin lo ma Dimadumende, New Yu Shumadmendua, Sisalom Mambu Yoruada, Mambu Nane, Dam, Padina, the Zolom Chaga Yaga Yaga de Giba, Sandy to Susset, Sinsam Chisman was over.
In reference to these, his students in Tibet, whilst it doesn't say so explicitly, we can take what we saw at the beginning of the paragraph in relation to India and know that it applies to his students in Tibet. That he also had an inconceivable number of students in Tibet, and though the main ones were, and then these are the ones that are mentioned here, and again what made them stand out is the incredible realizations that they had attained independence on relying on Lama Atisha's teachings and training in the same way as is presented here, which is how Atisha himself trained.
Lama Niji Tinian Jebra Tibi, Yuzin Chimboni, and Jemmy Lung Dembig, Drum Demba Jewe Junior Sauce.
It continues. Among these, it was nevertheless the great lineage holder John Tompa, Gelwe Jingne, who had been prophesied by Tara and who further spread the exalted activities of his guru.
Janda Burlia. And Georgie, Loma Mambo, that they kept a Mambo Yuba, D Nane, that's all Lama and Zoti, then Lamini Chile Jeba Zeba, said you, then Georgie, Korongi, Yamlin, Neve, Janju Simgi, Yamle, that it Jan Lambrimji, Yamlin Che, Gipa, Tilly Sene, Shanley, Pembe Java, the Roa, Denigi Lambrimitone, Shanley, Pembe Jeba, Zibigi.
Praised here, or particularly mentioned, because he was not only prophesied by Tara, but he fulfilled the prophecy in the sense of he gained great realization and propagated Lama Tisha's teachings, or the teachings of the Buddha, vastly, in particular that of the lamp on the path, that he trained well in those the trainings mentioned there and taught this text very broadly. And the term here, exalted activities, this is a particular term, but it refers to the beneficial activities of great and holy beings. So therefore, he continued the excellence that his teacher, Lama Tisha, had brought to Tibet, spreading that ever further. Maybe when we see presentations like this, we should approach it with a broad understanding, recognizing that a teacher would have had, as it says here, an inconceivable number of students, and they would have generally practiced like he did, and therefore their minds would have been transformed. And they would have thereby had the ideal foundation to teach, and they would have done so. So if there are students of his that aren't listed here, we shouldn't relate to them as being lesser or worse, but rather those that were most renowned are the ones that are mentioned here. And certainly Atisha would have also praised John Tompa as being his primary student and encouraged him in to continue his virtuous activities. So certainly what makes John Tompa stand out is his, that he was prophesied by Tara, but going along with that prophecy, he too had incredible qualities, but particular disposition and inclination leading him to strive in his spiritual development and bring great benefit to others. But he wouldn't have been alone in being a phenomenal student, although he was singled out.
And lama ye she de le nyaya ge de shira me de lama de ji yi shi ma le ben na na me ka ze ya wo she na jing ma ro wa ni na shi o de ko du shi ne suan nam da jia wang me ge zhe yu tuo ne an de pan tuo qi xiong ge jie tu ya yong guo le de ne yan za da lama duo ban nian ba ta de ne xie bei ne an de ji de ne ge zhe yu tuo ne an jiao ran di jie guo le jiao ran di jie ne ya ha du pan tuo yao shui jiao ran di jie ro a se nga ya de la me ge ma du shi ne gan na ya yong guo ro ba da o ni na shi xin yu ro ba da zhen de ji yu chun de li ya and then I'm remaking Yamle Dusinade.
Try and make my point a little clearer. We can think about in society that you can have several people who are highly skilled in a particular area, very knowledgeable in a particular area, but amongst them, one will have particular fame and thereby will be able to have great influence. The others may be as knowledgeable, maybe even as skilled, but they lack the fame and reputation and therefore cannot have the same impact. So why is there this difference? Well, the one with more fame and renown will have greater merit coming from past lives and connection with those that they are impacting with. Therefore, they can have a greater impact. So we can see that not only in our daily life, but we can relate to it here, that when a teacher such as John Tompa, he came into that life with a huge store of merit behind him, as well as tremendous qualities that he had within himself and developed further, and he had great karmic relations with others, and therefore he could have a profound impact on them. And that's then not only true then, but continuously. So if a lama is greatly learned and realized, and wants to have a beneficial impact on suffering beings, this beneficial impact is a dependent arising, a dependent on a wide array of causes that need to be accumulated. Not only their own inner qualities, such as knowledge and realization, but also their store of merit and their karmic connection with other beings. And likewise then, students also need their own collection of causes. And this interdependent relationship then will lead to a relationship, an outcome of small, middling, or great impact. Because if a lama has accumulated well all these causes required, then they are much more likely to guide students to guide students. But likewise, students also from their side need to have causes accumulated. Because if the student isn't that interested in attending teachings or being attentive whilst attending teachings, or thirdly, putting those teachings into practice, then maybe we could say the Lama can talk till he's blue in the face, but the impact that those words will have will be limited. So there is this interdependent relationship of a vast array of causes that need to be collected by all parties for the relationship to fulfill its potential.
Ta dida ni so na dida ni jeba be cheba dor du ba de jeba ni namdar ji yige chimo nam so shebar ja wo.
The chapter concludes with, this is a summary description of the author's greatness. You should come to understand it more extensively in the great biographies.
Lama
Tsongkhapa concludes his chapter by saying, this biography that I've included here about Lama Atisha, this is abbreviated. you should come to understand his greatness is far broader than what I have merely mentioned here. I've just summarized some of his incredible qualities. I've mentioned that he has the five areas, he is highly skilled in the five areas of knowledge. He had direct visions of his yidams, as well as they appeared in his dreams. And they gave him permission and authorization to teach and guide, as well as other direct guidance. I've also mentioned in brief his teachers, as well as some of his more renowned students. So a teacher is far greater than what I've mentioned here. This is merely an introduction. Coming to the conclusion then of the biography of Atisha, where we looked at the final section, which was about his primary students in India and Tibet and elsewhere. Well, how should we then relate to this chapter? Well, as I mentioned this morning and last night and previously, this is a biography of how Lama Atisha lived his life. He lived a life in this way because he knew it was the fastest way to transform his mind radically. Becoming the great and holy being that he was, he then guided his students to train in precisely the same way that he did. And his students then did. They trained in the successive stages of the path to enlightenment that were presented in his text, The Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment. And in this way, he led his teachings, led or guided successive students, inconceivable numbers of students, to radically transform their minds. And this then is how his students trained, his students in his lifetime, as did those who came to be his students over successive lifetimes or in later lifetimes, such as Lama Tsongkhapa. And here we can then recognize how truly remarkable beings such as Atisha, Drontompa, and Chetanbeshe were, and how incredibly fortunate we are to have met this lineage of teachings. So here, again, as I mentioned previously, the purpose of this is to firstly open our mind to be receptive to these teachings, by cultivating or the arisal of faith, which comes about through rejoicing in the qualities and the endeavors of our teachers and appreciation for what they have done, and then accompanying this, a recognition at our great good fortune of, and how rare this opportunity is. This serves to then both open our mind as to the teachings, as well as give us strength of mind to apply ourselves to these teachings. And this is what is required. This is why this, our foundation here, before entering into the text, is to open our mind to the teachings and give us the strength of mind to apply ourselves continuously to these teachings. Lama Teacher, in his composition of The Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment, presented Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings, which had been kept alive through the lineages of conduct from Maitreya to Asanga, right through to Lama Teacher, as well as the lineage of Yu from Manjushri, Nagarjuna, right through to Atisha. They kept these, took these lineages and presented them in accordance with the trainings of beings of three varying capacities. These are then defined by those who have developed the capacity to strive for one of three varying goals: that of a good rebirth as a human or god, that of liberation from samsara in its entirety, and thirdly, that the goal of enlightenment. So this these teachings were presented, the teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni were presented in accordance with these three capacities of beings. And this lineage of teachings, which were condensed here, or combined here rather, that of Maitreya and Manjushri, this lineage has been kept alive throughout the centuries, right up to the present day, thinking of someone such as His Holiness. Now we have come to meet these spiritual instructions, this unbroken lineage that has led to radical transformation of so many beings. This then is something that we should recognize, that we have actually come to meet this incredible lineage of unbroken teachings that's gone, spanned from Buddha Shakyamuni across these centuries to today. Again, the way for us to approach this is to recognize this incredible lineage of teachings from Buddha Shakyamuni through Manjushri and Maitreya, coming together in the teacher, continuing through him, through his direct students of Dzogchenpa, right through to the present day. This complete, unbroken lineage that has been kept alive, therefore it never needed to be recreated. And we can generate a sense of appreciation for all these great teachers who have applied themselves to transform their minds, cultivating all the qualities of the path in their mind, not thinking of their own needs, but those of others. So here we generate, firstly, an appreciation for the great kindness of our teachers, and the entire lineage of our teachers, and then accompanying that, we generate a recognition of how truly fortunate we are. And this great fortune that we have is something incredibly rare. Therefore, I will not let it go to waste. So these are the two reflections to generate: an appreciation of the kindness of the lamas and how fortunate we are, and not to let this opportunity to go to waste. And we do so through recognizing how much benefit has come to beings, such great benefit to a great number of beings across these millennia. And I am included amongst these beings of great fortune. I will make the most of this opportunity. I will not let it go to waste. So here we come to the conclusion of this reflection, which is our mind is both open and receptive to the teachings, as well as having a strength of mind in terms of applying ourselves to cultivating these teachings in the same way as our teachers have done. Now we've concluded the first chapter, which is on the greatness of the author, and now we come, having generated respect for the author of the foundational text, we come to the greatness of the Dharma, the second chapter. And this will then start with presenting the good qualities of the spiritual instructions. There are three qualities to the Dharma, the greatness of the Dharma. There are three qualities to the Dharma. The first is that it presents the complete subject matter. So all the topics, all the subjects that need to be cultivated are there. Secondly, that to put those trainings into practice in the way that is described here is something that is easy to do. It is not beyond our capacity. And then thirdly, that through doing so, inconceivable benefits comes to sentient beings. Now, starting on page 12 in the handout, or page 13 in the printed book, showing the greatness of the Dharma so as to generate respect for the instructions. As for the Dhamma, the source text of the present instructions is the lamp for the path to enlightenment. So where we see the word instructions or spiritual instructions, as we do in the outline, we should understand that that means the Dhamma. So we can use these two words interchangeably, spiritual instructions and Dhamma. The first point then that is mentioned in the context of generating respect for the spiritual instructions is that the object to which we generate respect is the Dhamma, and that has, in this case, its source, the text, lamp for the path to enlightenment. Again, I was just explaining what we have here in the translation is correct. The Tibetan that we have is probably missing a word, but our translation is fine. As for the Dhamma, the source text of the present instructions is lamp for the path to enlightenment. So the source text, the lamp on the path to enlightenment, this itself has three qualities. And looking at the first, although Atisha composed numerous texts, lamp for the path to enlightenment is their culmination, like a root. The first of the great qualities of the lamp on the path is that it presents the complete path to the complete path that needs to be cultivated in order to attain enlightenment. Some texts do not present the complete path, but will emphasize a particular aspect. Perhaps some will only present aspects which are unique to the Mahayana. But here, in the lamp on the path, the trainings which are shared with practitioners of initial capacity, as well as the trainings which are shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity, so these which have as their goal a good rebirth or liberation, these are included in this text, as well as the trainings which are unique to practitioners of greatest capacity, those who have as their goal enlightenment. So therefore, the trainings that are shared, as well as those which are unique, are all included within this text, Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment, as well as the teachings relating to secret mantra.
Donga nige ne dune temba stembes. Jizanda doda dui yamling je gosu parodishimbe yamling zimba. Na aninga ye kapne shibe yamling zimba chesa doda nga nigi yamling je zimba de nyanga de dunda nyingbo de ke su duhishe duhishe de son yores. Jizan tikki lamringi tikki nyunyunche dunda de nyingbo chesa duhio bachelores. Dene shores ore.
Reading the next sentence, just adding a word, it indicates all the essential points of both sutra and tantra in a condensed manner. Here you see in the text what I've just mentioned, that all the aspects of sutra, the trainings of beings of initial, intermediate and great capacity, as well as those of tantra, are presented in a condensed manner.
那咱绝绝用处做法是的 제자
sentence concludes, thus it is complete in terms of content. So this then is the first quality of the source material, Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment. And Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment presents, as is mentioned here, all the essential points of sutra as well as tantra, and therefore not a single topic nor essential point has been omitted. And this text, Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment, is the source material for Jerome Pichet's Lamrim texts.
Mm-hmm. Now do long dewale, said Yamlin Chelia, Dum Devo Lela or Jesura. Just a Yimbu Gimsen de la same do we rimba so or chebe, said Chesa Lamdrinji ma, Suegi, Yamlin Rimba, the so Chilo Mobota, Tingin Duyada, and a chicke, Dutan Lasoba, Jeva Chia Lasoba, and the Niki, Chala Duyada, and Digorum Sungo Mares, Chesa so on to get same Duyaki. 타람스
So that was the first of the qualities of lamp on the path, that all the topics as well as all the essential points are included within there, all the topics and essential points of Sutra and Tantra. Now the second key quality, and I'm just changing, there's a mistranslation of one word, it makes the graduated taming of the mind its main topic, so it is easy to put into practice. So the purpose of this text is to enable students to subdue or tame their mind. That is the purpose of the text. And it's something that can be easily done because the vital points of all the topics have been presented in the graduated sequence of trainings. So this is reflected in the title of our text, Middle-Length Treatise of the Stages of the Path to Enlightenment. So the word stages or graduated stages for training the mind, these are all here, or taming the mind, sorry, these are all presented here. And because the graduated stages for training the mind are presented, it is therefore easy to subdue or tame the mind, to fulfill, which is the purpose of this text. Looking at the same line, just rewording it, the main topic of this text is to tame or subdue the mind. And because it's presented in the graduated sequence of trainings, it is easy to put into practice. So let's expand on this. So firstly, the primary purpose of this text is to subdue or tame the mind. And then to expand on this expression saying that it is easy to put into practice. Something that would be difficult to put in practice would be, it would be difficult because, for example, it was only open to the wealthy. That to purchase this text or to receive teachings on it was incredibly expensive and therefore excluded the vast majority of people. That, of course, is not the case. Nor does one need to be particularly strong or powerful to be able, physically strong or powerful, to be able to train your mind. Nor does one need to have power and influence in society. Nor does one need to be famous. Nor does one need to travel far and wide. None of these activities none of these qualifications that would exclude many people are required. So why then is it said to be easy? Well, all that it needs to be done is one needs to keep hearing teachings, and whilst hearing them, sit quietly and reflect on their meaning. In this way, your mind will naturally be subdued, will naturally be tamed. Just sit quietly, reflecting on what one is hearing, repeatedly over a sustained period, and your mind will be subdued.
当然就是心对于人吧做好些吧，心对于人吧，些对于，就像当然就人们结巴的了呀，可人吧就当过，地些、泥巴地些、松巴地些的，就人吧先做好了嘛，都人吧没用啊些，那那么啥，几个人咱们大些别个，准备团的个来看我些个了哇，就当然就见自己了呀，咋办呢？当我的了，干部决定个，人吧先做好了哇。 你过把家办呢？你那些新的人把做好些吧嘞，是的。当然，这贴吧亲笔去年的几月份呢？当不几乎穷月来土木外那么一人把的，几乎整个土木外那么一人把落马江把去，你贴吧亲笔去年的几月份？贴吧亲笔去上单呢？第二年多花些来，搞得好活的，是搞得好些，吃活的，是的。你像当不还是叫我身上还是贴吧亲笔去年的几月份呢？当不几乎穷月来土木外那么一人把了落江过的，是。 但几乎穷于土木外那么一人把落江上来，可得是呢，江州是这样当。俺那个说的，七万米大炮高米啊，俺几个都是呢，俺那几位先点头高米啊的个，俺几个穷于那么一人把落江上底下抢定过来。但第八江内的那土木，底下俺那可谓东岸的了，泰国都是别个，他不多年纪，他妈他们他不泰国都是别个，他不多年纪，三把落江过来，第八江湾泰国都是别个落的，可谓东岸的了，泰国都是别上了马来呢，三九国帮土国土国都是别江就是没得几台个来合伙的，就像可谓东岸的泰国都是别个，他这个三把俺几个真的土木外那么落江过来。第二落江过江内的，等那什么节他们些。 东岸的台湾电报，他们现在东岸的账户是那个江民机关的，现在江就是都是那个我们现在电报前面去年的结果的，是的，我都是呢，就像新对于个人吧，做些是的，当不俺在电报前面去年的这个人呢，当不几部穷人给他们人把的把落江，第二步好过去，第二步抢上去，等呢几部真的土木外那么人把落江，第二步抢上去，等呢几部清白那么人把落江过来，人把等呢做过来，是我们现在其他的。
To look further than here at the graduated taming of the mind. So this is a key point, that the training is presented in a way that is graduated, that there is a specific sequence of trainings. And it's because it is presented in this way that it is said to be easy to put into practice. In other words, easy to transform one's mind. The key point here is just like in society, there is a sequence of events that is required to bring about a specific goal. For example, to construct a building, one needs to first start with the foundation. And this is indispensable. And so too with the training of our mind. If one feels drawn most to the teachings of the Mahayana Dharma, then that one has these imprints is fantastic and is to be rejoiced in. But one will struggle to actually give rise to the realizations of the Mahayana without having first cultivated sufficiently the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of in initial capacity. And thereafter, with that foundation in place, engaging to cultivate of sufficient strength, the trainings which are shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity. Those two are, one developed on top of the other, are the indispensable foundation to give rise to the minds such as bodhicitta, the minds of the Mahayana Dharma. The trainings which are shared with practitioners of initial capacity include recognizing this precious human rebirth, that it's impermanence, relying on a teacher, refuge, and so forth. Built on this foundation, when these have arisen in one's mind, giving one a strength of mind, a determination, and a focus to use what remains well of this life, one is then ready to cultivate the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of intermediate capacity, where one looks in details at the sufferings of samsara and their origins, leading to a determination to attain liberation from the sufferings of samsara. Without this realization, it will not be possible to generate bodhicitta. So therefore, in order to engage in the trainings of practitioners of greatest capacity, one needs the foundation. Therefore, to bring about an easy transformation of one's mind, one needs to engage in the graduated stages of training.
The central point that I want to make here is of great importance for everyone to understand the need to train one's mind or subdue one's mind through training in the correct graduated sequence. Not to rush towards what draws you most, where your imprints draw you to the most, but rather to train in the correct sequence. Because without having meditated well on impermanence, one will not have the foundation to reflect well on the sufferings of samsara. And without having reflected well on the sufferings of samsara, one will not give rise to the determination to attain liberation from samsara. And without having a determination for oneself to gain liberation from samsara, how can one hope to develop the wish to lead others to a state liberated from samsara? In other words, bodhicitta. So therefore, it's essential to cultivate these foundational trainings, reflecting on this incredible opportunity that we have achieved, giving you a confidence that this rebirth has come about independent of causes I myself accumulated. I have done this. I can do it, therefore, again. But merely leaving it there will not lead us to
transform how we live our life. We have to then think on the impermanence of this life, giving us the courage to transform what we focus on, what we value, seeing that ensuring our mind is on the Dharma, this is where we need to be. All the other problems then are seen in a new light. The problems and difficulties of this life are seen in a new light. The pleasures and desires of this life are now seen in their truer perspective. And we keep our mind focused on cultivating the Dharma as our primary objective. Then, with such a focus, reflecting further on impermanence will strengthen our determination to cultivate the causes that will lead to happiness. Here we go into the reflection on karma. With the reflection on karma, our determination to turn away from the delights of this life and not be overcome by the problems of this life will grow. And our focus on cultivating causes that will lead to good rebirth grow ever stronger, and this is aided by the reflection on the sufferings of the lower realms, recognizing the fate that may well befall us. This will then lead to the development of the foundation for stable refuge, turning for refuge or protection to the three jewels, recognizing that it's through cultivating the Dharma within us that we gain protection from rebirth in the lower realms. This then is an indispensable foundation for looking at the sufferings of samsara in its entirety, not just the lower realms, but the higher realms as well. And looking at the sufferings of samsara will lead us to looking at the causes, and that, to the extent we have developed that, will give rise to a burning desire to freedom from these suffering realms. Now we'll no longer, with the mind that we have cultivated in the initial training, now in the intermediate training, the mind that the problems of this life really are not important, and thereby they do not dominate our mind. And the pleasures of this life really have no value, and therefore they do not dominate our mind. That which we had developed earlier, we now develop in a far more powerful way, recognizing that no pleasure to be found in samsara is worthy of us striving for. Let it go. Don't hold those as aspirations. Don't allow those, the achievement of those, to dominate our mind. Rather, we strive for freedom, complete freedom from the sufferings of samsara. When that mind, the culmination of the trainings that are shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity, when that has been genuinely cultivated within one, only then does one have the actual foundation to develop bodhicitta. Because then, when one turns one's mind to the suffering state of others, one recognizes that they are suffering just like oneself. But to do so, one has to have first recognized how one oneself is suffering, and thereby given rise to the determination to gain freedom. Then we are ready to apply this understanding to others, recognizing that they are lost in the suffering realms of samsara, just like me. But unlike me, they haven't given rise to this recognition and a determination for freedom. Because of this knowledge and transformed mind, I have a unique opportunity to help others, to guide them based on my own knowledge and experience on how to cultivate such a mind. I have this unique opportunity and responsibility. And that then is how one enters into the Mahayana. To give rise to such a result comes about independence on the quality of causes that are accumulated. This is true at every stage of training and true in our ordinary life. The quality of the result depends on the quality of the causes cultivated. Therefore, one needs to subdue one's mind, train one's mind by cultivating the graduated stages of training in their correct sequence.
That in a Kishisumba, Luxian Lechabat Papa said, Dinma, Shinga Chimbo, Yi, Lula, Kebegi, Lamanyi, Damba, Lamanyi, Dembe,
What I've just mentioned there really is a key point, a vital point to take away from today. Then coming down to the third of the three qualities of the lamp on the path to enlightenment, that which is its inconceivable benefit to sentient beings, the text continues. It is adorned with the instructions of the two masters who were expert in the systems of the trailblazers, so it is a particularly noble system compared to others.
Zanda lu xian li en qie ba de ba ba le xi de jiang xu lan ren di lu xian xi de mi da ji qiu lu ji ge meng bu na le ya an ji ge qiu sun ye di sim jian tam ji an ji di yu zhu ya da dong wa xie de sun guo de wa xiu de da de ne ji ge qiu lu ka ren ne qiu sun ye de mi di yu zhu ya da dong wa xie ge dan da le sun guo le ta lam ji sun guo le ne da dade di joji ge sungi ge janju lamren di ane luk deso le an cheba du paba res cheba du paba re chidwa dade di le cheba du paba yo res cheba du paba re che te yinbi yumzen de le ya ane cheba du paba re se nye di su shen dan chudwa.
All beings long for happiness, a happiness that is everlasting, that is not punctuated even by a moment of pain or misery. And to fulfill, to guide beings to achieve such a state, the world has, there are many different religions as well as philosophical traditions in the world. But amongst these, the graduated stages of training to enlightenment stands out above all other religions, all other techniques for training the mind.
Shing de chimbo ni gi lula KBS de shing de chimbo ni se de ji zhen jian ba gong ba da gong bu lu ru si wo le da jin de ben de san yi zhen de de yu song xue bi ge xie xin de na le ma song xue bi ge ane ni jia qi wei lam yi rin bi ge nian men che da de ni xin de chi ji zhen jian bei yang ge su le jia wa jian ba gong bi ma se xie xin de song xue ge de da xie xin ge de ne ma 做的温度一定把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它把它 be namsha ta ane kumbulu ri nisun be ge ane jika tongpanyi tawa kumbi ge nyamle yi shimba di lu nye la di lu nye la ya kai ba kai be ge lama nyi si de da de shi nga zo ke ka so re di ka le ya lama di lama siling pa ta ane dharma ki ti sa di sun sun a di nyi de da lama nyi di ge lama nyi ki pa tamga ki pa dushin ma lama nyi si ne da jo ji ki di shun yi la kai ba de lama nyi di kai ba che lama di kai be ge ma当然的嘛，俺做起来嘛，送去，做起送去的，做起给他讲究啷顿哪了嘛，都需要办的，当然减吧，是不的是？那个是现代进步路，你来开别，那么也当，单别是对吧？做起来当，恁做起嘛，当把那些对对端端的，宁波金嘛，这些办的，当嘛单别减别，今天给减吧，是都，今天要的是开出的要吧的是，这样子。
很露馅的，结巴都跑过来也是。嗯嗯嗯，看，是他全部，他做那一张。慢点，慢点，这里，慢，叫我全部公布单，公布录入你手上来的。那他现在全部是都公布录入，叫我全部公布这些，别点击公布，我都检查了。但，我都检查了，我都检查，公布录入的这边个，早晚写了，待遇过写了，早晚写了。
So why does this text stand out so? Why is it so outstanding when compared to other systems? Well, to read this last sentence again. It is adorned with the instructions of the two masters who were expert in the system of the two trailblazers. The two trailblazers can understand as Nagarjuna and Maitreya. And they are trailblazers in that the two lineages from the Buddha that went through them led to the composition of the text in the case of Maitreya, that of ornaments of clear realization, which presents all the topics of conduct, the conduct side of the teachings, the activities of the bodhisattvas, for example, as well as then the lineage through Nagarjuna, the vast lineage, the profound lineage, which was expressed then through his composition of the text Fundamental Wisdom, which was primarily on how to eliminate completely the afflictions together with their seeds through cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness. So therefore, these two masters are referred to as trailblazers. And the text then also goes on to say, with the instructions of the two masters who were expert in the system of the two trailblazers. So the trailblazers, then Nagarjuna and Maitreya, and the two masters who were expert in them are Silingpa, in their system of the Sangha, and the younger Vidyakokila, also known as Avadupta, who is an expert in the system of Nagarjuna. These then two lineages, as we heard earlier, were perfectly held by Atisha. Therefore, in his composition of the text, The Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment, his spiritual instructions are faultless and present the correct sequence of trainings that are required to cultivate in our mind, not just merely to subdue it, but to lead to the attainment of enlightenment itself. To expand on this term, to the two trailblazers, this can be presented in two different ways. If one looks to the foundational texts of the two trailblazers, one will look at that of the Ornament of Clear Realization composed by Maitreya and that of Fundamental Wisdom composed by Nagarjuna. So one would say those are the foundational texts of the Mahayana, and the authors were Maitreya and Nagarjuna, and therefore they are the two trailblazers. A different way to present is that the two trailblazers of the Mahayana are again Nagarjuna, but a Sangha, because a Sangha is seen as the, maybe you could say, the primary proponent of the Buddha's teachings on the Chittamatra, and Nagarjuna the primary proponent of the Buddha's teachings on Madhyamaka. So therefore, sometimes one will hear the two trailblazers referring to Maitreya and Nagarjuna as the author of the primary text of the Mahayana, the Ornament of Clear Realization,
and fundamental wisdom, or one will hear reference to the two trailblazers as being Asanga and Nagarjuna, as being maybe the primary expounders of the two Mahayana tenets, that of Chittamatra and Madhyamaka.
So the reason why Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment is so superior to all other religious traditions is its subject matter, because it presents the complete and correct graduated stages to train one's mind, to subdue one's mind, in order to generate, firstly, bodhicitta, for the sake of all sentient beings, and not only the correct and complete stages of training that lead to generation of bodhicitta, but also to the cultivation of the wisdom realizing selflessness, which leads to the complete eradication of the affliction together with their seeds and their imprints. So in other words, this text presents the entire path that leads to Buddhahood, the state of perfection. And for this reason, it's incomparable to what other religious traditions are able to present.
And how should we approach what we've heard here thus far? Well, it would just be to repeat what I said earlier, is that
Through hearing this introduction, Lama Tsongkhapa is encouraging us to develop as our foundation to approach the entire stages of training, to generate, firstly, a great appreciation for the foundational lamas as well as the entire lineage, an appreciation for how they live their lives and train their minds, and thereby to rejoice in how they have lived their lives. This then, of course, leads to the accumulation of virtue on our side. And then the accompanying reflection is to recognize how truly fortunate we are to have come into their presence through their texts and encountering the lineage, and to not let this incredible, rare, precious opportunity go to waste. This is the second part. What these two lead to, the appreciation of the lamas of the lineage and the recognition of the opportunity that we have attained, these two lead to a strength of mind as well as an open and receptive mind to train just like our teachers have and the teachers of the entire lineage have. To be able to actually do so, we need a vast store of merit, and all these minds I'm just referring to now that one generates, appreciation, rejoicing, recognition of our opportunity, a determination to use it well, these are all virtuous minds. So we're accumulating virtue or merit by the arisal of these minds. And why we need an open and receptive mind is so that as we encounter these teachings slowly over the coming years, as each reflection is or meditation is presented, we are open and receptive to what's said. Let it touch us. Take it as personal advice. And then, with the second quality that accompanies the open mind, that of the strength of mind or determination, we apply ourselves to meditating in this way and keeping these virtuous minds present continuously. So this is then how to relate to what we are covering here. So thank you. We can conclude there for this morning, but if you have some questions, then please feel free to ask. And maybe just before taking questions from the translator side, to say to Cameron, so I checked, and the Sanskrit word for Silingpa is Dharmakirti, like you said last night. Okay, thank you. So are there any other questions?
Men?
So do the Bodhisattva vows come from the lineage of Asanga? So the word have come from the lineage, from Shakyamuni through Asanga to the present day. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.